Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Thieves are using radio jammers to leave your car unlocked when you use the key fob to lock it. The evolution of the grocery store is coming from Amazon. From the creepy toy files, you might want to think twice about placing an IQ or Kayla smart toy under the tree this season. And are you a daily motion user? Change your passwords immediately. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost. For just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories for the week of December 7th, 2016. Police in England are warning that thieves are using radio jammers to steal items from cars parked at motorway service stations. The police said the transmitters could be used to interrupt signals from remote keys, preventing vehicles from being locked properly. The force said 14 recent thefts from vehicles with no obvious sign of a break-in had been reported. It advised motorists to check vehicles before leaving them unattended. Remote keys have a unique signal which is transmitted via radio waves from the fob to the car. Jammers overpower these signals from the owner's key and interfere with this communication. The devices can be used over a large area, in theory allowing thieves to cover an entire car park. Would-be thieves rely on drivers pressing the lock button on their fob and forgetting to double-check whether the vehicle is secured, leaving it open and allowing for easy entry. More modern vehicles, which use keyless entry, could also be vulnerable. This is an interesting point because everybody seems to rely on their key fobs now, and as long as they hear the beep, I just assume all is well. But really, if they're jamming it, you'd probably still hear the beep, right?
I don't know if you would. I think it would just like cut off the signal completely. But you're at a busy parking lot at a mall, and you've got the kids running around or whatever have you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose they could get sophisticated enough that when it jams the signal, it could beep another horn or something like that, or you know, something to throw you off. But
see, and I know that a lot of vehicles, more so on the higher end, the ones that I can't afford, they've got the keys where when you get close enough, it automatically unlocks, and when you walk away, it automatically locks it. But it's like within a proximity of 5-10 feet or something.
Okay.
So it makes me wonder if this would prevent those from working as well.
I suppose it depends on how that technology works. I'm not familiar with the inner workings of that. If it's looking, sounds to me like that type of locking mechanism is looking for a signal.
Right.
So when you get too far for the signal to reach the car, it locks. So you would think in that case, if they jammed your signal, the door would lock.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be the opposite effect. But what they're doing is actually basically blocking your car's ability to receive the locking code that is coming from the
way to jam the jammers.
Jam the jammers. It sounds like a hip hop track from the 1980s.
See, and I immediately go to Raspberry.
Raspberry?
Only one person uses Raspberry. Spaceballs.
Jammed. Jam. Nice.
Wait, Raspberry.
Yeah.
Space Jam. That's all I'm thinking.
No, not Space Jam.
Rick Moranis.
Yeah. Spaceballs.
Fantastic.
Okay, totally unrelated, but completely related.
The Spaceballs reference was unrelated.
That's right. I was thinking more so about the key fob thing. Did you know that your head can be used to extend the signal of your remote for your car?
This is where we realize that Jeff Weston is actually bonkers.
No, it's true. It's true. My dad showed this to me because somebody showed it to him about 15 years ago, and he uses it all the time. So we were at a car lot looking for a
stick
car.
It in your nose and push the button.
And he was trying to find the car that we were looking mm-hmm. to get, and it wasn't working. So then I see him go like this, and then way on the other side of the lot, I hear the car's alarm go off, and then he turns it off. And I'm like, what? And he's like, that was a little trick that was taught to me. So I looked it up. Apparently, your head works as some sort of like extension to the signal.
So is that how we jam the jammers, is to hold it to our chin when we lock our cars?
I don't know, maybe.
A lot of crazy people walking around with fabulous people walking around.
Bum.
Wow.
Amazon has revealed plans for a brick-and-mortar grocery store chain without a checkout process, where customers will instead pay for the goods they have selected via an app. The Just Walk Out shopping experience uses the same types of technologies found in self-driving cars. Customers will swipe into the store using the Go app. It will use computer vision, sensors, and deep learning algorithms to keep track of what customers are picking up off the shelves. Amazon has spent 4 years developing the shop. The shop will offer ready-to-eat breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snack options made fresh every day by on-site chefs or by local kitchens and bakeries. Grocery essentials such as bread and milk will also be on sale alongside Amazon meal kits with all the ingredients needed to make a meal for two in about 30 minutes. Once the shopper leaves the store, their Amazon account will be charged and receipt sent to them. The first shop is expected to open to the public in Seattle in the U.S. in early 2017. Questions, comments, thoughts, concerns?
It's a dangerous precedent to set up a store where you just grab something off the shelf and walk out the door, because won't it eventually happen where that will become the norm, to the point where if I go into a craft shop or something, I might forget that, oh, I have to go to a cashier and walk out with something that I haven't paid for.
That seems like a shaky defense, though.
I don't know.
Because you have to log in actively.
See, sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess you do, eh? So it's more like a digital shopping without a cashier on steroids kind of idea.
But what happens?
Not that the cashier is on steroids.
Now, what will happen if I walk in? Say Dave and I go to one of these stores, which he wouldn't because he's like really anti-robot. But
you know, I still go. I don't go to ATMs when I don't have to, and I don't go to robotic cashiers. And that's not because I'm anti-robot. It's because I support the
people.
Employment of
I support
people.
Human.
And so I don't. So just to interject that, you know, I go to the teller because I want to support the teller.
And I go to the robot, even though I love people. I'm not anti-person. I'm just pro-robot.
Okay.
However, if Dave and I walk into this Amazon shop, right, and we're both walking around logged in, how will it be able to discern who gets charged for what when we're side by each?
Yeah.
It's just double dipping.
Maybe you need to take two of everything.
Right, but yeah.
You need to take two of everything.
See, but what happens if you walk in and you don't have your phone? Or you're not logged in.
Well, they assume that everyone has their phone at all times.
You assume, but
they assume. Yes, absolutely.
What if your phone dies halfway through the process?
What if? Yeah, you can't leave the store.
But
oh my gosh, I hope you don't have a fifth gen iPhone.
But with that, I mean, if there's anybody even in the store, because the fact that now the store is completely robotic, I mean, you could walk in without a phone and be like, oh, I'm just going to take this fruit salad here and I don't need to pay.
Oh, guaranteed they'd have security.
Like, you're going to have massive
guaranteed.
They have in-store chefs.
So the chefs will come at you with a butcher knife.
That's right.
Cut hey, you didn't pay. Knife. Yeah. Look out. Chef's knives flying at you.
That's right. You buy those from our affiliate links.
Yes.
I just... the chef knives? Or the... Never
Okay. We can turn anything into an advertisement.
Something something.
Like last week, our accidental ad about the coffee cups. That was amazing. If you haven't seen it, make sure you get onto our YouTube channel, linuxtechshow.com. That was not an ad for linuxtechshow.com.
It was a good ad.
You put it up,
but I enjoyed it.
Here's something not to buy on Amazon. The makers of the IQ and Kayla Smart toys have been accused of subjecting children to ongoing surveillance and posing an imminent and immediate threat to their safety and security. The accusations come via a formal complaint in the U.S. by consumer groups. They, along with several EU bodies, are calling for investigations into the manufacturers. Genesis Toys, which makes the products, has not responded to a request for comment. Nor has Nuance Communications, the firm that provides speech recognition software for the products. It is also a subject of a U.S. complaint filed with the Federal Trade Commission. The Norwegian Consumer Council also assessed the toys and their terms and conditions. They found the products lacking and potentially in breach of advertising regulations. It's quite disturbing because the company reserves the right to direct marketing towards kids, said Finn Mierstad, technical director of digital services at the council. In January 2015, the BBC and security researcher Ken Munro at Pen Test Partners revealed the vulnerability in Kayla's software that allowed the doll to be hacked. And Mr. Mierstad said that it appeared the problem had not yet been fixed nearly 2 years later.
Wow.
Crazy. According to the U.S. complaint, the doll prompts children to provide personal data verbally, including their parents' names, the names of their school, and the place where they live. Rick Ferguson, researcher at security firm Trend Micro, says how the data is collected and stored and shared, all of that appears to be almost entirely unregulated. And the parents are certainly not made aware of, and in any comprehensible fashion, of the extent of the data that's collected or how it may be used in the future. It also says the toys allowed unauthorized Bluetooth connections from any phone or tablet within 50 feet or 15 meters. The Norwegian Consumer Council has now filed its own complaints to three authorities in Norway, including the Consumer Protection Ombudsman. Further complaints from other bodies are to be filed in France, Sweden, Greece, Belgium, Ireland, and the Netherlands. That's a creepy toy. That's a super insanely creepy toy.
Yeah.
I feel like I would use that toy as a spy cam. More than I would use it as an actual
spy. But in this instance, this company is the spy. This company is storing the data, who knows where and who knows how, and how secure that data is.
Now, I realize, you know, that it's a news story, but I feel like there's some bits of pieces of information that are missing. I mean, it talks about Bluetooth connection within 15 to 30 feet, but what is that Bluetooth connection for? And does that give you full access to the hard drive? Is it based on an app? And does this stuff transmit over the internet?
I'd say.
Yeah, it's cloud-driven.
I would
so
say.
So this stores
It is cloud-driven? Maybe,
sure
maybe I missed that in the news. I was trying to listen, but I could have missed it. But so does it automatically update with
This is the thing. Nobody really knows. They haven't received word from the company, you know, where's this being stored? Where is this data being stored?
So
how is it being secured?
Yeah,
how are you protecting these children?
I feel like it really directly hits us in like a very vulnerable spot because you want to teach children, you know, self-play. You want them to entertain themselves. You don't want to be there all of the time. And you give them this doll that's supposed to interact and be fun. And this doll is creepily spying on your family. It's kind of like Chucky.
Okay,
it could be if someone hacked it and turned it into one. Sure, it could.
Why do I always have to fight with you, Sasha? I just don't get it.
Just remember, not all robots
really
are evil,
like
Jeff.
To be
not
wrong.
Maybe I do. But there's a part of me that's sitting here going, "Is this such a huge shock? Like you've got online presence, you've got apps that are geared for kids that are." All internet based, this doesn't stop no matter what you do. I mean, it's sure this is a doll and, you know, this robot thing that maybe the company can update, but it's no different than any other online interaction that kids have. I mean, I think of all the apps that I've downloaded for my kids to their phones, and you could do suggestive advertising. You could store all that information anyway. I mean, how many apps do parents download and they don't look at the fact that, oh, this calendar app has access to your phone, your microphone, your camera?
Yeah, like, exactly.
So I get why people are like, oh my gosh, this doll, it's going to, you know. But we've got apps that do that. Why is this such a shock that we live in a world of Internet of Things that records your life?
I think it's because the apps are actually for adults. You give your adult phone to your child.
That's the parent's decision.
It's the parent's consent to do that, whereas you're giving the child a toy.
Yeah, but my five-year-old's not going to go buy that toy from Toys R Us herself. I'm going to buy it and give it to her. It's no different than downloading an app for my kids.
I need to clarify, looking at IQ Robot, do I need an internet connection to play with IQ? This is on their website. An internet connection will be required to download the free app, which unlocks all of the fun things which IQ can do. Some functions, such as searching for information on the internet, famous people, places, etc., require an internet connection. Right, of course. Wi-Fi is recommended. Many of IQ's features do not require an internet connection, such as his games, brain teasers, and trivia. So they're not exposing there what it actually does. What has happened is somebody's looked at the terms and conditions and realized that they have rights, that they can do things with data that is collected by these robots.
Right.
And they can do target marketing and do things like that. So it becomes... it's not a toy. It's a marketing thing.
But so is the rest of everything that's connected.
That doesn't make it okay.
No, I completely agree.
Here we are playing on the innocence of children and trusting, putting trust in these kinds of things. Like we had Teddy Ruxpin. He was pretty benign. I had Bingo the Bear, who pretty much just said things when you clicked his mouth.
See, I had Alfie. Where you put
Elfie?
You put the little cards in there and then you play the games.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And there was Robbie the Robot.
I do not recall Robbie the Robot.
I'm jealous right now. I knew of these things. I wanted them. I had none.
Sure, you could probably still get them.
I had Speak and Spell and Speak and Math.
Those are cool.
Yeah.
I really wanted one of those children-sized cars that you could actually drive, the electric cars.
Right.
And when they came out, I was 1 year older than the maximum age, and it still hurts me to this day. So
we've got one that our kids ride, and I'd just like to point out I can get on that and drive it. Not recommended, but I can.
This is when you need a selfie stick.
No, yeah. I don't need a selfie stick because I keep both hands on the wheel.
Really?
When I drive a kid's car.
That's it. All right, Sasha.
All right, details of more than 85 million users of video sharing site Dailymotion have been hacked, according to leaked source.
Not another one.
Another one. The breach detection company said that 85.2 million usernames and email addresses and 18 million scrambled passwords had been stolen on the 20th of October. But the passwords were protected with the bcrypt hashing algorithm, which should make it hard for hackers to access accounts. In a blog post, Dailymotion advised all its users to change their passwords. It said it has come to our attention that a potential security risk coming from outside Dailymotion may have compromised the passwords for a certain number of accounts. It also passed on advice about how to come up with a hard-to-guess password and said users should not use a simple a word and number combination such as password 1234. Commenting on the hack attack, Mark James, a security specialist at ESET, said, "Check and change your passwords on this site. If you have used that same password on any other site, then change those immediately and possibly consider a password manager if you're not already using one." Without further information about what was or what was not stolen, we won't know the extent of the damage, but needless to say, more data being added to your already overflowing online profile floating around the web is not good for any of us. Based in Paris, Dailymotion is ranked as the 113th most popular website in the world. according to Alexa rankings. This year has seen a series of Massa data breaches, with experts saying that there are now 1.5 billion stolen credentials available to hackers and attackers online. The one thing I have to say is I really like the way they released the information and said, okay, listen, not only have I told you that there has been this breach, but I would like you to change your password for this, your password for, you know, other accounts. I want to let you know that there is some encryption, so maybe your stuff might be a little bit safe. Makes me feel more comfortable with them.
Hmm. See, and I'm not surprised that we have another password hack story.
It seems like a weekly thing now, doesn't it?
It does. But what seems to surprise me is the fact that they're saying, please don't make your password 1234.
But it's like the number one password. Like, what am I supposed to do? Password 4321?
In the world of tech...
I'm not making fun of you just because that's your password.
But I mean...
I worry because I am not a great, strong password maker. Like, I do sometimes use a password generator, and then I use a password manager to store that. But when I'm coming up with a password, I literally look around the room, find something, and then spell it out in numbers and letters.
Do a little search on our website, category5.tv, for password recipe. And it's a great way to create stronger passwords while doing exactly that same thing by associating. And you can even write them down, and people won't be able to get your password from having written it down. Because, like, my coffee, for example, could be part of my password. So coffee could be the word, but mug is what I write down and what I remember.
Right.
Watch that episode. It goes into great detail about password recipes.
Yeah. For example, if coffee was part of your password, but the E's were threes and the C was a five.
You're getting leet.
Right.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Now we're getting sophisticated.
That's what
I do. If all of our ones were actually exclamation points.
I spell my things out correctly, but with symbols instead of letters.
My password is just 7 hyphens. Nobody will ever guess it. All right, folks. Oh, yeah. You've got to wrap up.
Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.